Welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, Rob and Scott are left all alone. And when they're alone, they drink something from the vault. And tonight, it's nothing short of spectacular as they drink the 2003 Domaine du Vieux Telegraph Le Crau Châteauneuf du Pape. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's Wine Vault. Welcome to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy, and tonight, I'm joined by Scott, the unlicensed taxi driver.
Oui, je m'appelle Scott.
Yes, and for people that don't speak French, including Scott,
well,
did you say your name is Scott?
Le Scott.
Le Scott.
Oh, that's very, Scott.
That's how multicultural of you.
Oh, very multicultural.
It's exceptional.
Very multi-international.
It's as if there were no screen processes to get this job that you're in. I told Becky is not on the show tonight because she just had her third Pfizer shot today. So she's being an abundance of caution, whatever the hell that means. I told her, though, if she's not on the show, she does not get paid. There's no PTO on this show. So, you know.
There's no pay.
Oh, no. There, otherwise. No, that's right. That's right. Yeah, that's right. That's right.
You're having some cork issues.
Well, on tonight's show, we have an old wine out of the wine vault. And what happened was when you pull the cork, I did not do the stand cork puller. No, I didn't.
It's easy for you to say.
I used the two-stage, regularly waiter corkscrew, knowing that you'd have to be a little bit gentle. And as soon as you start pulling, you're like, it kind of disintegrated, but I was able to get it out with very minimal cork in the bottle. It wasn't like the Ponet Canet,
okay,
where it turned into dust. It was just a little bit, it was very chunky and fell apart, but still.
Do you have concerns that this bottle could be corked because of the condition of the cork?
No, because I smelled it. It's not corked.
Very nice. Mm-hmm. And for the listeners, what should one look for?
Well, cork only lasts so fucking long. Let's just start off with that. So, even if you have an old wine, I mean, all that's holding that together is the glass. I mean, it's there. It functions. Once again, it does its job. But, yeah, you're going to have a fit when you try to pull it out. You need to be very careful. The wine on tonight's show, though, is the 2003 Domaine du Vieux Telegraph Le Crau Châteauneuf du Pape. The Crau is the Grand Cru of Vieux Telegraph, essentially. I don't really know, though, that they still make Le Crau. I don't see it on their website. I looked.
Yep.
It looks like they're doing the Telegraph. I don't know. Some other weird stuff. I think they still probably do. You know what? They do because I saw the 18. It comes in now at about $104 a bottle.
Okay.
When I bought it, I think it was more in the 50s and 60s.
Okay.
It's kind of hard to remember, really. It's been, I've had this for, oh, I don't know, 15 years probably.
Okay.
14 years, something like that, in the vault. It's, the remaining ones are 2004 Pagal, a 2004 Vieux Donjon, and then an 18 Donjon. Those are the Châteauneufs. I haven't bought many Châteauneufs recently. I might start here in the next couple of years, but there was a while where I would buy Châteauneufs over Bordeaux. Then I switched, although there's not many Bordeaux available. Thank you, wine.com. There are 7 Bordeaux available on wine.com currently in Ohio. And most of them are Mouton Cadet.
Okay.
So go fuck yourself, wine.com,
yeah,
and your
thanks
bullshit. You know what? That pisses me off. Like, well, we can't find anybody that has. Go down to Jungle Gems. There's a shit ton. And they're all from Ohio distributors. If you actually call around and ask the distributors, do you have any Bordeaux? They'll say, well, yes, we do. Let me send you some. Now, I understand it's released at certain parts of the year, but there is some. There's more than 7. Seven. You know? Claridel is not, doesn't count.
No.
The Chateau Graysac, I don't want that. I mean, I used to buy it, but I bought it at $12.99. I'm not paying $27 here. Fuck it. And then, what is it? The Cardinal? The Florida Cardinal?
Yeah.
What? $94. I bought it. I have the 11 vintage. It was $37. When the fuck did that ever come $94?
Well, since you became a Gray Sack.
Apparently nobody buys it, though. Well, that's not, you know. But nevertheless, tonight's View Telegraph's opportunity.
It's beautiful. It's a beautiful, beautiful embossed glass. Well, raised glass. It has two sabers. Those are two keys.
Well, historically, View Telegraph and Beau Castel are really two of the classic Chateauneuf producers. They're probably two of the most well-known. Above all of them, I think. Some would argue Beau Castel is, and I would probably agree. But View Telegraph is right there with it. Beau Castel is a little more expensive, too, especially now. But, yeah, View Telegraph and Beau Castel are the two, let's just say, best known. I mean, I'm forgetting, like, Jigal and that kind of crap. I'm not talking about big producers. I'm talking smaller, Chateauneuf-focused producers. They're the two best known historic. Historic ones. So
back to opening this bottle.
Yes.
Were it corked, what would it demonstrate on the Chenaz? What would you smell? How would you know?
First of all, on the nose, it's going to smell musty. That's the most obvious. I mean, you know, it smells like a sweat sock. Smells like a basement.
Gotcha.
Normally, it just smells off. But normally, the best thing is mildew. On the palate, you know, the front palate might be completely devoid. A huge hole. Where the wine might be. Now, the wine could taste mildewy or musty, but often it's a big hole in the palate. We have not encountered many cork wines on the show. What, two?
Yeah.
A Griffon and that bullshit thing by the dude that does, it was the Bayonet.
Yeah, the Bayonet.
It's some California, the guy that does The Prisoner was, you know, hooking up with some dude in France and, you know, they made Bayonet and it was corked. So those we had two wines.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which, you know, not surprising. But other than that, we haven't had much. I mean, I remember corked Numanthia. I had a corked Hecula.
Mm-hmm.
Not on the show, though. Thank God corking is not as prevalent as it once was. Corked wines, anyway. Thank God. But normally that doesn't come with age. A cork wine can happen in something that's new. So it's not going to necessarily become corked after age. And it might fall flat. It might have leakage and cause some issues. But most generally, if it's corked, it's corked. It doesn't really, it could be 50 years old. It might have been corked when it was 20 years old, but you're not going to tell because it's
dust.
You're
not going to know. Yeah.
So, I mean, that's kind of the difference. It was corked probably at 3 or 4 years or six. It always was bad. It's a, you know.
In the glass
is something we'll discuss as soon as we come back here on the Wine Vault.
To be fair.
That's a great segue, isn't it? No. That's why I'm a professional. Here on the Wine Vault. Hey, everybody. It's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love the Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about the Wine Vault? Well, do you know the best way to do that? By giving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Whether that be on iTunes or Stitcher or TuneIn or Spreaker or Podbean or some other app I've never heard of but probably gave your phone a virus when you downloaded it. So take that time. Give us that review. Give us your thoughts and feedback. That way, everyone will know to listen to, enjoy, and join us on the Wine Vault. And we'll be right back. And we're back. So the 2003 Domaine du Vieux Telegraph, La Crau, Chateauneuf du Pape. Now, so you understand.
Isn't it just fun to say Chateauneuf du Pape?
It is. The Chateauneuf du Pape, and this is, I believe this is in reference to 2003, but historically anyway, the line of Vieux Telegraph. They have the Rouge Telegram, which is the lesser of the Chateauneufs. For them, that's 80% Grenache, 10% Syrah, 6% Mourvèdre, 4% Cinsault. 35 years average on the vines, and it's a blend of different places. Okay, the La Crau is 65% Grenache, 15% Mourvèdre, 15% Syrah, 5% Cinsault, and then Clarete. Then it rounds out in some regional stuff. It's 20 to 60 years. And limestone, silica, red clay, all sorts of stuff. And then it has small stones around. That's actually where Le Crau comes from, the name from. There's small stones all around, rounded stones that cover the vineyards as far as the eye can see. So this is from one particular vineyard, pretty much. It is, cement tank for 10 months, then ages another 12 months in the big, fooders? The fooders.
Garriques.
No, fooders. Bottled unfiltered after 22 months of aging total. So 10 in concrete, 12 in the fooders, oak fooders. And why do you do oak fooders? Large tanks. So you're imparting more subtlety, less intensity. Subtlety, less intensity. So exciting. It does have some reviews, Scott. It does. Oh, you don't have this. I'll give you a piece of paper so you can hear the paper rustling. It was in the Wine Spectator Top 100 in 2003. That's great. Or, well, no, not 2003. Whenever it was. It was in the Top 100. But 94 from Wines and Spirits.
Yes, it's Wilford. I'll read this one because I didn't review it because I wasn't alive then. It's shocking.
Wilford, you're not alive now. You're D-E-A-D. Even Keith Richards looks at you and said, man, that guy's old.
I'm handsome for my age. Anyway, from the Plateau de La Crawl in the south. Oh, that's so beautiful how I say that. In the southeast portion of Châteauneuf-du-Pape, the Bruniers produced the wine from vines averaging 50 years of age. That's practically an adolescent, a baby. The brooding, densely ripe 2003 feels richer and bigger than the 2001,
which was an excellent year in Rhone,
and the 1998,
which was an exceptional year in Southern Rhone.
Why can't I read that? Shut the fuck up, wine guy. Anyway, why do you do that? Yet the weight is perfectly supported by its tannic structure. Velvety flavors of blackberry, black cherry, chocolate, clove are gripping and focused. As lovely as this is now, it will be even more expressive with another 5 years in the cellar. They said I would be more expressive in 5 years in the cellar, so they locked me in the cellar.
Well, and they also, that's because you did too much gripping.
Well, I'm still in the cellar.
Yeah, well, you need to stop gripping so much.
I don't know. I need a new pair of sweatpants. Anyway.
Oh, next, Wine Spectator. And they gave it 93 of their points. They've said tight at first.
Yes, I know about that.
Anyway, but quickly picks up steam in the glass with dark cherry, plum, tobacco, pepper, mineral, and hot stone. I almost said ho stone. Hot stone notes pumping through the long, fruited, terroir-filled finish. Really fleshes out nicely with velvety tannins that are atypical in 2003. Drink now through 2020. Close enough. Then the 92 from the Enthusiast. Yes, this is a classic wine from the Bunier family and certainly one of the best-known names in Châteauneuf-du-Pape. That's a lot. There's not that many. They did Chateau and Châteauneuf-du-Pape. There's too many hyphens in there.
I've seen it spelled that way before.
That's wrong. It is also a very fine wine full of perfumed fruit, dark but dry, rich tannins, flavors of oak, pepper, and herbs make it quite a traditional style. The name Crau Le Crau refers to the plateau on which the vines are planted. Imported by Kermit Lynch.
Kermit the Frog Lynch.
He has a lot of good stuff.
He does a lot of good stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, in the glass, it is slightly brickish.
You know it's an aged wine.
It is an aged wine.
And brickish, a brownish orangish tone is generally what we're talking about.
Yes.
And it almost... When you've got a truly brickish wine, it'll almost appear like a layer of oil on top of the glass.
Somewhat, yes.
Dense nose.
Red raspberry.
Licorice.
Yes. Rose petal.
I'll give you that.
And raisin undertones.
And there's a
Do you smell spice box?
I would go back in the back like a marjoram, some type of
What about backside spice? Do you smell that? In the glass, not in your ass, but...
James,
I'm more blunt now. I've been using whippets all day long. Higher than a kite.
You know, one guy called me up one day.
What? Oh, that's true. Yes. Wilford, take off the nipple clamps.
What? Oh, sorry.
Well, keep them on if you like that.
James, it's so distracting.
What? Yes, I wish he would put his shirt on, yes. It's a nice nose. Lovely
wonderful
nose.
Legs.
But you would expect it to have a nice nose.
It's not as florally as I expected it to be.
Well, it's true. The donjon was a little more floral related. So
this probably has a lot more going on in the nose, though.
It does. It has a very, very nicely packed, interesting nose.
It's a very dense nose. This is a more dense nose than I would expect from a 20-year-old Chateauneuf du Pape.
It smells like a domestic Pinot, some domestic perfume Pinots that we've had. A little German chocolate cake, maybe even too. Black Forest cake, not German chocolate. Okay. Black Forest. Which nobody likes, really, but still, you know.
Well, a good one.
The Black Forest cake, yeah. Dark chocolate, raspberry, cherry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what we should do?
Drink it.
Yep. Go in. Shazam!
Oh. Oh, Lordy. That, oh, wow. Woof. Okay. That, oh, man, that is a trip right there. First of all, the length on this is incredible. But the tannins are so grippy and grainy. They have a texture. The wine has absolute texture to it.
There's this astringency about the finish.
Yes.
The finish is long, strong, bound to get the friction on. And then there's this astringency that just takes over.
It almost has a liqueur quality to it.
In what way?
Well, in the viscosity, really. Oh, I mean, okay. It is a very drippy, but not boozy wine. Not medicinal in any way either, but almost like a creek liqueur or something like that. Without the sweetness, mind you, but.
Wonderful fruit there is.
There is
like a stewed plum.
Stewed plum, prunish.
But it starts differently. It starts, there's a real soft, subtle berry thing. Almost like a berry water.
Yes. Rose water.
Not berry waters. No. Berry water.
Well, like a slightly infused. Yes. Because it has a lightness to it, but at the same time, there's power through that that prune plum into tobacco notes that are so lovely. Then it opens up and sings through the oak that's starting to expand and expand and expand. And with that, you have that nice bit of tobacco, yet prune plum following along.
I'm going to take back the berry water. It is the rhubarb component of a strawberry rhubarb pie.
Well, yes, the flavor. It is that.
Sometimes sweet rhubarb.
Sometimes we would say that it's a little, wines that taste a little stemmy, but this doesn't.
No.
But I know what you mean.
Yeah.
because it's often mixed with a cherry or a strawberry.
And it's just so pure but soft right at the front.
Mm-hmm.
Before that stewed plum prune comes in. There is... You know what, how I'm going to describe this, buddy?
Well, how?
You know how you like to call the Washington wines as jazzy?
Yeah.
This has a little jazzy feel in the mid-palate.
Oh, sure.
I'm
just looking trying to figure out on the shelves of distinction, how to move things around. It's decorating.
I think there's plenty of room on that top shelf.
Oh, there's room.
If you look between the Turley and the Saint Henri and the Heights and the other Chateau Neuf de Pops there, I think there's a space right there.
Oh yeah, we'll make room.
I think it'll get squeezed in
there. It will, because it deserves it. Lovely expression. This is an 18-year-old wine. Now this is where it should be drank. It's not going to go 25 years, not going to go 30 years.
I mean, we'll never know. Would it have been more expressive a year ago? We'll never know.
I think it actually, now, the softness and the delicacy that still has that with some punch to it, I like it now.
Yeah, I'm not saying I don't like it, but it's one of those things you don't know unless you have six of these back and you're having one a year.
Now, it's not the Poney for me. The Poney Canet is... the best for me. I know the Bacal's gotten the highest scores, but my favorite drinking wine. I mean, I liked it so much I bought some. You know, $176. I never spend that much money on wine, and I did. And I didn't even blink an eye because I had to have it in my life, and I had to have it, you know, 60-year-old Rob needs to look at, you know, 43-year-old Rob and say,
good move.
Nice job, Trigger. Buddy. It's like I'm buying it for myself down the road.
Good job, Trigger.
Or I'm buying it for Henry. Henry won't drink it, though. William will. Jesus. William would definitely. What is this, Dad? Yeah, he would definitely do it. Henry, no, he'll never drink. And if he does, he'll drink Zima. Something like
no.
that. What are the frat boys? He's a frat boy.
No.
The child is. I'll tell you what.
He's going to be sophisticated.
Him and his soccer buddies, they're just frat boys. It's like, you know, pop their collars and do keg stands, even though they don't know about that. But, man. They are. They're all good buddies, but they're it's a frat. It's a frat. But William is the sophisticated one. He really is. He is. He likes all sorts of stuff like that. Lukey, I pooped in my pull-up. Oh, really? Yeah, it's on my fingers. Fuck you. On both fingers.
You know what I need to teach him?
Not to do that?
How to do wet willies.
With poopy fingers?
Well, that's his discretion.
Poopy finger, doo-doo-doo. That's the other James Bond. They never made that one. They should have. They were going to make it. But
poopy I think Mike finger. Myers actually did make that movie.
Okay. Yes.
Poopy fingers.
Saw a Pacer done just like the Wayne's World car yesterday. In the rain, he was driving along. But
an AMC Pacer.
Yep. Spot on recreation of the Wayne's World car.
God bless them.
And even said Wayne's World, or some sort of variant of that in life. But it was beautiful. Well, for a Pacer.
It was a Pacer.
It's still a Pacer. Those are neat, but they're terrible.
Well, it could have been a Gremlin.
It's true. It's true. It's true. No, it was a really well done recreation. Then again, you spent money on a Pacer, but hey, whatever. Yeah. Not too many of those still around.
No.
Because they were terrible, but you know. Just drop an LS in one. Just say fuck it.
Dad bought. And custom painted, beautiful black paint job he did. AMC Javelin.
Yeah, Javelin.
3-speed, 304.
Yeah. Well, the AMC weren't all bad. I mean, they had some.
It's a good little engine.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But back to the wine.
Yes, I had to refresh my glass with more. This has been decanted since about 7:30. So, 150 minutes. It's just such an inviting thing to put in, to put in your mouth, but that's okay, to put in your mouth. It's so, this is, folks, why you set wines back properly, because you can have this lovely experience down the road. if you're so inclined. Now, not everybody's into it. Not everybody's into old wines. You and I, Scott, are into old wines.
Well,
Becky, not into old wines. Although I don't think that she would find this objectionable.
I think she'd enjoy this, but you just never know. Sometimes some of the characteristics that we love so much just put her off a little bit.
But this isn't mineral driven. This isn't
true. That
I mean, yes, you know it's Grenache there, but it's really similar to the way the Clarendon Hills opened up and sang a little bit. That was a little more port esque and a little bit bigger
and bigger.
But
and it had a different mouth texture. This has a silky mouth texture as far as I'll go.
Oh yeah,
that was next level.
Mm-hmm.
That made the Turley mouth feel. Look like nothing.
Such a good wine. And that's young. These things are overbearing. They have to be aged. That's the thing about Chateauneufs. You can't really drink them young. You just can't do it. They have to sit there for 10, 15 years, really to, I mean, the good ones. I'm not talking about, you know.
This is why I love Grenache.
Oh, yeah, I'm not talking about Barton Gustier or the BG. I don't want to talk about their Chateauneuf. I'm talking about real Chateauneufs. You have to sit them. You have to be patient. They are not something that you just pull out. Oh, I had it for 3 years. It's ready to go. No, it's not.
No, not so much.
Patience, patience, patience. Good Burgundy is similar. Good Bordeaux, same thing. Patience, patience, patience. It's rewarding, you know? Don't drink this, then drink something else. You know, that's the point. That's why I bought Gunlatch Bunchu's Mountain Cuvée, because it's tasty. Well, I'm still going to age that for though a couple years before I drink it.
Yeah.
About a couple of them. I like that one. It's one of those wines, you know, how you had something and you think back to it and you went, can't get that out of my mind.
I can't get you out of my head.
Really? You told me that.
I can't get you out of my head.
Now you're starting to creep me out. You called me and left a voicemail on my cell phone. It's a jitterbug. It has a big numbers. And I was like, that's Scott singing in my voicemail again?
Wilfred used to call me on my cell phone.
I did, but I only have 15 minutes a week to call. It's limited. I don't text. You can't text with this phone.
You could.
No, it doesn't have texting. Nothing. And I'm not allowed to be on the internet because of certain court orders, but that's not the point.
There you go again, gripping.
Well, no. It's politics.
Politics.
Yes.
Didn't you vote for Trumpy?
No. Lord, no. No, no, no.
Well, then you'd have been forgiven.
No. You just go to one Boy Scout meeting that you weren't invited to, and they put you on a list.
You should be on a list for that, Wilford.
I had no kids in that. Never have any kids anyway. I just showed up because I like Wait a minute.
Boy Scouts.
I think I'm violating my parole right now. Never mind.
I don't really know that's the truth. It's just my opinion. Allegedly.
Jesus.
I said it in a character,
You're such
though.
A bad man.
I said that in a character. He's probably the nicest man in the world. Or he's a bastard. One of the two.
I don't know. There's a bit of a gap in that spectrum there.
There is. There's a lot of, subtlety in between there, isn't there?
Or just medium.
You know what? Shows him, teaches him. James is probably happy now. He's still a fucking dipshit. It's like, James Suckley, 97. Okay. Who cares? Seriously. It's like, okay. So that means the wine's not very good?
On the Ryder Cup, one of the commentators made a little joke about some particular golf professional's master class.
Oh, really?
He didn't learn that in his master class.
Which one was that?
It was one of the ones following the hole by hole. I didn't know their name.
That was such a fucking pretentious fuck up. Obviously they don't do that crap anymore, but. Such a stupid idea. I mean, there's no accreditation with that dumb shit, and it's all a bunch of bullshit. And you can watch all that kind of crap on YouTube for free.
Free.
If you want to watch Gordon Ramsay cook, just YouTube it. He did all that shit for free.
Yep.
I don't think he... Was he in a master class?
You know, I think he did have a master class.
Right.
think he did.
His stuff was really fun to watch on Facebook and YouTube because they're really great videos of him and his family, just him just cooking in his kitchen. But, yeah. I mean, James Suckling, you don't have the wine there to drink. And I don't even know what the hell he's talking about. It's just, hi, well, you know, he sounds more in real life like Wilford. I'm giving him a
like
lot.
Like your Wilford.
Yeah, kind of. Hi, this is James Suckling. I'm going to teach you today about... Well, no, he's a little more like this. Yeah, it's James Suckling. That is how he's done.
It's nasal. He's nasal.
We're going to talk about tannins in the Piedmont region. Do you know I live near Tuscany, and you're helping me do that? Wine is such a crazy thing in this world, and I used to work for the Wine Spectator. Then they fired my ass, and I now have my own website, and I'm... claimed all around the world for giving
96s
really high reviews to wines that don't deserve it. So here's how you over-review a wine. First, you don't know what the fuck you're talking about. Second, see the first one. Third, drink something different than what's in front of you. Yes, I always drink Liberty Creek Cabernet because it's lovely. I give it 9,400 of my points. That's right.
And should you drink it now or hold it?
I drink and hold both. I drink the wine while I hold my testicles. Yeah, that's right.
This is still going to be his voice on the show, though.
Shut enough.
You know, I think I'm doing him a service by making him sound at least, you know, interesting. Because he's not. J.S. No.
Jizz piss.
I don't know what that. What the, yeah, fuck.
What is that?
I don't know. JS. It's his initials. But you see, JD. You went. That's a handsome man.
That's a handsome man.
It is a handsome man.
He has some nice hair,
and he has pretty good reviews. But he worked for Parker, not the Enthusiast. I mean, the Spectator. Whenever he'd review something, he'd be told by the superiors what the ad revenue was that last week from that wine, and then that's what your score was. But you know,
well,
there's probably even a math. You know. No, 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 no.
It's kind of like the Facebook.
That's why I left. Yeah. Now no one sponsors me. Well,
you do have that bulging bank account from your masterclass series.
I do have a dildo sponsor, though. I don't want to talk about it, but they asked me to demonstrate their products, and I did. And that got the most hits on the masterclass streams. But it was one person in San Francisco that was living in a basement, according to the technology, that was watching it over and over again. That's how they spent $10,000 on my masterclass.
What?
On the same person.
What do you mean?
What are you saying?
That dildo was a whole 7 inches long, and he took it all like a champ.
Jesus. So the sophisticated listeners that dialed in for the first time, this is who we really are.
Well, we don't have sophisticated listeners. Or they're so sophisticated they realize that's sophisticated.
No.
No, it is.
No.
It's a higher level. It's a higher plane.
Not
it's not the easy humor. The easy humor is, you know, yeah, Adam Sandler. Adam Sandler doesn't do that. No, no, no.
Listen,
oh, no.
A dick joke's a dick joke. That's easy humor.
That was not a dick joke. That was a dildo joke.
Same thing.
No, it's not. A dick is not a dildo. I know.
Oh, Lord.
I mean, it's a you know, it's rubber or something. I mean, some of them don't even, a dildo doesn't even have to look like a dick. You can make it look like a cat. You can have a cat dildo. I mean,
you're
you might.
Sick man.
Somebody should check your underwear drawer, see what you got in there. Nevertheless. Moving on. Scott's derailed us into dildo talk. It's terrible, Scott.
Of course I have.
It's terrible. You're such a disgusting person making those terrible jokes. I don't do that.
This does...
Oh, yes.
...trickle over towards a bit of a portish thing as it transitions from the mid-palate to the finish. A bit of that...
Sure.
Raisiny.
Yeah.
Chocolatey. Just the agedness.
I love, though, how the oak is expressing up and pops up when you really draw. That finish is killer.
It
absolutely killer. And the mouthfeel is grainy all the way across from the, well, a little bit of acidity popping and the tannin. The tannin is all the way through, just, you know, it's kind of like the deconstructed what's left, and it's all grippy. It's all texture.
Yeah.
It's delicious. It's lovely.
It's this dichotomy of parts that in another wine you might say is a bit disjointed, but because you know you're drinking something older, I think you don't mind that you've got a lot of differences. The front palate is so soft and subtle.
If you were if this was a 2018 Sonoma Cabernet, you'd think there's something wrong.
That's what I'm saying.
Yes,
that it's just disjointed to some degree, but that's because it's an aged wine. The front palate is expressing fruits, but they're so subtle, so soft.
Mm-hmm.
In a different wine, you wouldn't even pick out that reference I made to the rhubarb component of a strawberry rhubarb pie. You wouldn't be able to pick it out because it's so soft and subtle.
Well, lesser minds wouldn't be able to, of course, but you're an expert, so.
Yeah, of course I am.
You are.
Sure.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, you can't pick out Cab Franc, but you know, you're an expert other than that.
Yeah.
Aside from the Cab Franc incident.
Frankie.
The Cab Franc. That and the Vranic. You don't know Croatian wines and you don't know Cab Franc.
Yeah, I feel so disappointed that my expertise is not in Croatian wines.
Becky is still...
Green and Grape, she had that.
Becky, what?
She had Vranic.
Well, you should have bought some. It's lovely. It wasn't.
Something that was $40.
Vranic, that's a little bit much for Croatian wine. Slow down. That Vranic was 12.
Yeah.
I don't think so. You know,
maybe it was 30. Maybe it was 29.
That's still too much.
Still. Yeah.
Did somebody hand deliver it from Croatia? They put it in their backpack and brought it all the way here?
Probably. Adam's no longer with Grain and Grape.
I don't know who Adam is.
Adam was the owner. We met Adam.
Well, how does he know? Does he sell it?
He must have sold it. I think there was a...
A brouhaha?
Yeah, I think there was a brouhaha, and he is no longer...
Well, if he owned it...
I think he's no longer married, and I think she got...
Oh, it was a Camus issue. He got Wagnered. Well, no, he Wagnered himself.
The salesperson.
I don't know that. But.
Talked about it, but didn't.
Talked about it, but didn't?
Yeah. She wouldn't give specifics.
Well, yeah, why would she?
She just said that he's no longer there and she likes Laura better.
Okay.
But
you said, do tell. And she went, no. Do tell.
She's her dog in the store now.
And then she had pepper spray and she sprayed you in the face.
No, Deb was there, so I was safe.
She's like, what the fuck?
Deb's it's funny. I get a lot less pepper sprayed when she's around.
Yeah.
Other ladies are scared of her.
No, they feel sorry for her. It's a difference. They're like, oh dear, if you're being kidnapped, blink twice. And Deb's always like, you're like, why do you always have dry eyes, Deb? Well, I have to blink a lot. She's passing notes. What are you doing? Nothing.
Kidnapped.
Anything. She's just like, oh. Or she pretends she doesn't know you.
That's.
This is my what? Where'd she go?
She's not pretending.
She's over there looking at the rosés. And you know, she doesn't look and drink rosés. Like, why are you looking at rosés? You don't even drink that. And she doesn't answer. Like,
that's my life.
He never realized that was the case until just now. And he's like,
no, I've done it all.
Motherfucker.
I've known it all along. It's a sad, sad life I lead.
Yes. And the pepper spray came from Deb. So, you know, whatever. She's like, here, dear. Right in the face, right in the eyes. Right there. Good job. No. Let me work on help your technique. You've got to hold your arm steadier as you spray him. Scott, hold still. Okay, let's try it again. Oh, we've ran out of that can. I've got another one. Here, we'll try this one. Yeah. Yes. When you kick him in the nuts, what you need to do is rotate your hips so you get more force.
She's really good at that.
I bet she is. Giving classes. It's the Scott defense class. You're like, what is the Scott? I thought self-defense. You misspelled self. No, I didn't. Oh, yes, I did. You're right. Yeah.
What's your favorite part of this wine?
The fact I'm going to take the next bit of I'm going to refresh my glass. No, my favorite is the finish. That crescendo of the oak is so lovely. And I love the way the tannins are expressing, that are actually showing texture. I think that's lovely. The fruit is good, too. I just think it's a lovely expression. It's a little bit different than the other ones we've had. The Donjon was a little leaner, a little more mineral driven.
Mm-hmm.
Silky. It was all mouthfeel. Pagao was a carnival. Pagao was big.
It was a carnivore.
Yeah. Yes, it was huge. This is somewhere a little bit different, and I like that. I like it showing its age, but I like the age that it's showing. You know what I mean?
That's very...
It's like a Helen Mirren. Kind of, without being sexual.
Oh, Lord.
No, I'm just saying.
You know, you had something that bordered on being profound, and then you had to throw in a Helen Mirren.
Why
comment.
Is that a bad?
Because you had to mention her as aged.
Well, she's an older, elderly lady. Yeah, she's classic. Like me. People said I'm like Helen Mirren.
Now you're comparing your Wilford Wong impression to Helen Mirren.
Yes. No, not the impression. Me, Wilford.
Oh, Lord.
I'm a silver fox.
You're silver, all right.
Yes, I am.
Like a silver back gorilla.
You think about that all day long? You write that down?
No,
did you send that to test audiences? They said they all laughed their ass
thinking
off.
About
you looked at,
you
oh would, my God, that guy peed his pants. I'm going to tell that joke on the show.
Dragging your knuckles on the ground.
Then you didn't realize the man just peed his pants because, well, he's old. And you didn't know it wasn't funny. Oh, well, that's your fault. Silverback gorilla. My God.
You are a silverback gorilla.
Jeez. One guy, he sure is a comedic genius, that guy. Wow.
Wilford giving you shit. Can you believe that?
There's a surprise. The finish is the star of this show.
Yeah.
The finish is the star of this show. My favorite part about the finish is that drying stringency. You think the finish is ended, and then bam, that happens.
Mm-hmm. It is.
It's the thing. In this wine, I like to call where it shifts gears and it just does something different.
Yeah.
This is exactly between the two Chateauneuf de Pulps you described. It is exactly between the two, the Donjon.
It shows. You're right. It shows a little bit of both. I mean, it has the carnival of hints of fruit, like the Pagao, but at the same time, it has a little bit of the interesting nuance of, you know, the tobacco and the minerality that was more expressive in the Donjon. Yes. A little bit of both. I would agree with that. But, folks.
It's kind of right in between, too.
I know.
Just right in the middle of the spectrum.
That's right. We're going to take a break.
We'll take a break.
And then we'll be right back here on the Wine Bolt. Back, folks. So on tonight's potpourri, we're going to talk about what have you been buying recently. And I mean wine, Scott. I don't want to know about your porno mag collection, but still.
Mag?
Magazine.
Oh.
It's a little old school.
Oh.
You know,
people don't buy magazines anymore.
I don't know. I buy Wine Spectator and Carnegie.
Yes, you do.
The Tater. It's a good deal.
It's a good deal?
When I got it, yes, because I have an online subscription. I don't know how to cancel. So, you know, yes, that was a good deal.
That you don't know how to cancel?
Not really. You have to, like, call somebody.
But see, that's the thing. When you go to try to cancel something now, there's no one to call.
That's true. But I use it, so it's okay.
Okay.
You know, there's a lot of fun stuff. We like the trivia shit and all that stuff.
We do.
Maybe we'll do one of those here in a second so I can get my money's worth. But, Scott, What have you been buying recently? Hopefully you've been buying something. Otherwise, it's going to be a very boring episode. I'll just talk about all the things I bought. The Triple B accuses me of buying too many things. Poppycock, I say.
We were just at Green and Grape, and I bought a couple Bordeaux, and I
don't remember what they are.
Don't remember what they are.
That's great.
But they, I even looked them up on the phone, and
it was really great.
Don't recall.
That's so impressive.
It would have been helpful if you had told me we were going to talk about this. And I
would you have recalled? Had
I could have written him down.
Oh, God. Such a dipshit.
We might have had a little too much
you
to drink that night.
Too much to drink. You're drunk.
No. Been buying those halves. Picking up these little half bottles. You know, we did mm-hmm. the Mount Veeder on the show.
Yes, we did.
And I have a couple of the Martini Sonoma Counties.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sometimes you just want a half bottle. You know, I realize, yes, you can do your little air pump, fake little system of yours. But sometimes you want to drink a bottle and you only want it to be a half bottle.
Okay.
And the bottles are kind of cute, folks.
Well, see, I bought Mount Veeder too, but I was the OG. I bought 750s. I bought four of those.
Anybody can buy a full bottle.
Yes, they can, especially when it's really good stuff. Do you have any full bottles of Mount Veeder?
I do.
How many?
None.
Good.
One.
Well done. Gunlatch Bunchu. I bought a couple of the Mountain Cuvées because they're tasty. Recently, I bought Ramey Claret. I bought Napanook. I buy too much. Mount Eden Estate Cab, the 16 vintage from Santa Cruz Mountains. I've always wanted to buy Montebello, Ridge Montebello, but I didn't want to spend $200 and some. The Mount Eden is a value at $99,
mm-hmm.
but it's also an exceptional wine. Check out Mount Eden. If you want, you can go a little bit less for more of their early drinking stuff. It's Domaine Eden, I think. And it's about $49.
You know what I also picked up at Grain and Grape?
What's that?
A Cannes Blau.
I saw that the other night. Yeah. Yeah.
Why not?
Cannes Blau is nice.
Old school.
We haven't done it in a long time. But
budget.
Cannes Blau or Cannes Blau Blau?
Cannes Blau.
Just Cannes Blau Blau.
And not the Blau Blau, but the Cannes Blau.
Yes, folks. If you don't know.
There is Blau Blau. There's yeah. Cannes Blau. And there's Cannes Blau. It's Cannes.
Soon they'll have the Cannes Blau Blau. But
Cannes Blau.
They're Spanish, what do you want? Mm-hmm.
The budget price.
It's Monastrell, right?
Yes.
Yes. Mavedre, Monastrell.
Mm-hmm. And always good.
Yes, we've had it out to dinner before.
We had it on Valentine's Day, on my birthday. And it was fantastic.
Very good. Always a good choice. I picked it, of course. And we've done those wines on the show, but they never made it to air.
Really?
No.
That's a done deal then. I'm bringing it to the show. We're doing it.
Okay.
Why not?
Mm, yeah.
Oh,
I'm not done. Peachy Canyon, Incredible Red. Rabbit Ridge, West Side, Paso Robles Inn. I've always, back in the day when I worked in the wine industry or wine department, Anderson's, we always sold a lot of Rabbit Ridge. And it just kind of, it's never disappeared, but it just isn't out there anymore. And I saw that, and I went, you know what? I'm going to buy some Rabbit Ridge.
Why not?
Gunlatch Bunchu's there, Sonoma County Cabernet. Bought that. People are like, what the fuck? I'll buy a lot. Sorry. Triple B commented on that.
You're spending that Biden money.
Damn straight. And it was also my birthday. And also, Pedroncelli. By the way, shout out to Pedroncelli. And I'm going to tell you why I'm going to shout out to Pedroncelli. Their shipping prices are $6 a bottle. And their stuff isn't expensive. So, not all their stuff is available in here.
Now it is.
Well, now it is at $6 a bottle, and that's pretty good. I've got three bottles, and it should be here Wednesday. Three bottles of their port. It's not a Zin port. It's actually all traditional Portuguese grapes.
Huh.
What do they call it? I forget.
Durango Nacional.
Yeah. No, no. But they have a name for their port. And I believe it's supposedly $750s. Through them, it's $22 a bottle plus the shipping, $28. But it's still a really good port. And I've had it before because I bought it at Pedroncelli. We have a Dry Creek cab. I don't know if we'll ever make it on the show or I'll just drink it sometime. But we have that in the vault. But, oh. Let's see. Is there anything else?
I love Pedroncelli.
There are some other things that I've bought. Now I think about it. Well, soon, Dow's made it's a Duero from Duero, red, dry red. 94 from Wines and Spirits. We'll have that. What is it? The Bonfi? I forget what it is. You can find it. It's $12.99. We're going to have that on the show eventually because we have some other things to talk about in Portugal. Matter of fact, after the show, Scott and I have some homework to do because people keep emailing us about it. But still, it's all right. You know, we have contacts in Hollywood. That's not Hollywood. Where's that at? Probably Camden, New Jersey. Who knows where that's probably? Some, you know, Knoxville, Tennessee.
Guido.
We don't know. Well, not Tennessee. We don't have any listeners in Tennessee, but that's okay. Anything else, Scott? Have you been buying anything else? What do you advocate people buy?
Yeah. You know, Turley's soon to ship.
Oh, that's true.
Mm-hmm. So, as always, I've overdone it again.
You've done it ridiculous. It's ridiculous. I actually was light this time. I only got 6 bottles.
Yeah.
2, 2, 2. That's okay. I'm all right. I've got plenty. And, you know.
Here's how the conversation went. Princess, do you want to give some money for the Turley allocation? How much did you buy? You don't want to know. Mm-hmm. What's that mean? You don't want to know. Okay. I'll give you $300.
Oh, my God.
Okay. Thanks. Yeah, that didn't touch it.
No. I think I spent $300. I mean, it's, well, maybe not even that, $250. I don't know. I mean, I love Turley, but at the same time, I like so many other things, too. How many Zins do you need?
Well, that's the thing. I buy more than Zins.
I know. I bought 2 of the things I bought, I think, for Petite Sirahs.
I'm loving more of their non-Zin products as much as I love the Zins. You
know, the white coats and those things are delicious. I bought a couple of Sauvignon Blancs.
Yeah, the Sauvignon Blancs are fantastic.
They are. It's just, you know, mixing up what I buy. Well, I buy so much through wine.com. I used to, anyway. I'm seeking out buying winery direct. Ridge, you can buy winery direct. Their shipping prices aren't terrible. It's just you need to buy things that you can't get here. Because if you're buying things you can get here, you're a bit of a fucking berk.
Yeah, it's kind
because
of
you're spending too much. But their shipping prices aren't terrible.
Well,
they're not terrible. But
I would guess, for example, the Pedroncelli prices, $6 per bottle. I'll bet their prices versus what, if you could find it here, are probably at least comparable.
They're very comparable.
Don't you think?
Yes, very comparable. But you're buying things you can't buy here.
Yes.
So there's single vineyard stuff you can't buy here, so you're going to pay $36 a bottle for that. But it's a single vineyard Zin, and it's from a Zin-centric producer from Dry Creek.
There's always risk with buying wine that could be shipped. It can get heated. It can be...
Oh, sure.
Damaged during shipment. Let's just put it that way. Mm-hmm. But, you know... You walk into a place you've never been before. You don't know how long that wine's been sitting on the shelf.
Oh, I know. Mm-hmm.
You don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, at a good purveyor, a good proprietor, they're not going to allow stuff to be on the shelf without getting rid of it in time.
True.
You know, it's one thing I like about Twisted Grape. I think Robin would never
Twisted
do
Vine.
That. Them too.
Twisted Titty. I like that too.
You know, easy.
I'm just saying. I know. So those are a few things that we've been buying. Scott doesn't even know where he's been.
I don't know where I've been.
Nobody. Well,
do you know where you're going to?
That's because you have a...
Do you like the things that life is showing you? Where are you going to? Do you know?
Is that a song lyric?
Diana Ross.
Oh, well, there you go. So, folks, we're going to take a break. And then we'll be right back here on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. So the 2003 Domaine du Vieux du Telegraph, Le Croix, Châteauneuf du Pape. Scott, we need a review from you. Numerical score.
I love it.
I'm
92. With a range of like 91 to 93. But I love this. It's just fantastic. I just think of other things we've had and done. And that's just where I think it falls, in the 92 range. Is that a little bit of an underscore? I don't know. We'll see what you think. I mean, possibly it is. You know, 92.67.
Well,
headed towards 93, but it's just not
the FM dial. Yeah.
On your FM dial. Mm-hmm. 92.67 on your FM dial. Freestyling here in Southern California.
Mm-hmm. And now it's on to me. So 92 from Scott. I am going to, well, first of all, start off by, what do I love about this wine and what do I not like about this wine? I don't like that the decanter's empty.
Yeah.
That's all I got for you.
It's a fucking problem.
There are no detractors I have for this wine. I mean, for what it is, it's interesting. I love the quasi-perfumey mouthfeel, the grippy tannins. I love the finish. I think what it's expressing so much is probably not what people envisioned in 2003, but hey, nature takes its course and it makes its own thing, and it did this. You know, time made this wine. Obviously, you know, the winery, they started off and they started the process. They harvested the grapes, they processed them, they bottled them, they sent them off. And then after that, once it hit my rack, time aged it. And that's the most wonderful thing. You can't imagine in 2003 what it's going to be in 2021. You know,
you can only be hopeful.
I'm providing this wine 94 of my points.
Oh, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you why I didn't score it higher.
Because you're dumb?
No.
No.
I miss the minerality that it really should have. It really should have some element of minerality, and it really doesn't.
Well, it's tobacco.
Yeah, okay.
That counts.
A touch.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, I think the fruit is big enough that it kind of overshadows that kind of stuff, and that's what you drink for wine for anyway.
Other people do.
You have a stylistic grudge with this wine.
A Grenache that doesn't have minerality. A French Grenache doesn't have minerality. Come on. Like I said, perhaps I underscored it slightly, 92.67, but I'll stick by it. It's fantastic. I love it.
It's a big bastard. It's so good. So good. Delicious. Tip of the cap to France. Except for their, you know, their submarine building industry, dipshits.
What's their submarine building industry? You know, they just missed the boat.
Industry.
Well, they just missed the boat.
We lost the contract.
Fuck you guys. They don't want your little shitty boats. They want real boats. Nuclear-powered boats.
I think French make good boats.
Yeah, but not great bows.
You say boots?
Boots, yeah. He's a stab in the back. That's what I say to that.
Yeah, how many times has America stabbed the French in the back? We counting this week alone or the last month or...
They're the French. What do you want, you know? Oh, It's like you're not even, you haven't built anything yet. So what are you crying about? You know, sell them to Venezuela. They'll buy them. Brazil, they need that.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Congo would love your subs. Just do that.
The Congo.
I don't know. Mongolia, they can make great use of your submarines.
I think the Chinese make their own subs.
Yes, but Mongolia, in case you didn't know the joke, is completely landlocked. It's probably a river. Okay. It's just sitting there. It has to be surfaced the whole time. Like, doo, 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 doo. We got a sub. Doo, 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 doo. The Mongolian Navy would be a pathetic sight, wouldn't it?
Well,
doo, 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 doo.
Probably half the Chinese naval fleet are Mongolian.
It's bumper boats. Doo, 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 doo. Boom.
Oh. Bumper boats?
Bumper boats.
Bumper boats.
Bumper.
I thought you said pumper boats.
I don't know what's a pumper boat.
That was my question to you.
I don't know. I've never been on those sea journeys like you have. Then again, I never was a seaman. So,
that's
a 92 evident. And a 94. Hall of Fame with distinction to the Domaine du Vieux, Domaine du Vieux Telegraph, Jesus. Lacroix. There we go. Domaine de Vieux Telegraph. Yes.
Lacroix.
Bravo. Oui, oui.
Chateauneuf du Pape.
Lovely. Lovely stuff.
Wonderful. Where does this rank in our Chateauneuf du Pape laurels? I don't recall our scores for the other.
Well, the Pagal's a lot higher. I think
the Pagal 95?
No, 97s and 98s. Hmm. We were very excited. And it was that good. But
then the
this is
Donjon.
This is very close to the Donjon. I believe that was in this, you know, mid to low 90s range. I believe that's what it was. I have to go back and listen to the show if you want to know exactly.
I think I gave it a 93.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
About the same scores. Because this is the same level, it's just a little different. It's that level in a different way. So
it's kind of like you. You're on a level, but you're a little different.
Whatever they say.
Trust me.
Oui, oui.
That's what they say.
Okay.
Just a little different.
That's right. So, for Rob the Wine Guy, Scott the Lessons Taxi Driver, and nobody else.
Hey, we didn't do our scores of integrity.
You have no integrity.
I
did you write mine down?
Yes, I did. Did you write yours down? No.
Yeah, I wrote yours down. I said you'd give it an 82. What'd you say I'd give you?
Bullshit.
I win.
Where's your
fuck you.
Where is it?
It's right here.
Where?
It's right there. Scott, 92.
That's our scores.
Well, that's what I wrote. What'd you write for me?
93.
Well, you lost.
I lost. I won because I wrote a score of integrity and you
down.
Did not.
It's right there.
Oh, Lord. It's even right in there. Scores of integrity, you don't have any integrity.
I'm going to write it. Let me show you what I wrote.
He's writing it right now.
I am not even.
And you know what he's doing? He's writing a dripping penis because that's what he does during the show. He makes pictures.
I don't. This is what I said you'd score it. Right there.
There it is.
Okay.
He's a bad.
I know
bad
you've seen that post. Before. So
not that particular
probably
version.
Really up close. So
yeah, sure.
Rob the Wine Guy, Scott the Licensed Taxi Driver, and that's it. We're going to bid you adieu. But see you next time here on The Wine Boat. Good night, folks.